Okay, today's daf is daf Nun Zayin. So we got to the last mission on the bottom of Nun Vav and Beis. The mission says that kol haksamim hanimsam b'chamachum tehorim. Whenever you find a kesem as something, a cloth with a stain on it, we assume it's from a non-Jew and therefore it's tahor. Because if it were to be from a Jew, the Jews make sure to hide them. They don't let them just go wherever they want. So if it's anywhere that's found in a common place, that's assumed to be from a goy and therefore tahor. But if it's found in chutz min hanimsam b'chadarim v'isvios beis atzumos, unless it's found in some rooms off to the side, or it's found in the areas around where the women who are nida would normally work, so then we assume that came from the Jew, because it was more hidden, and therefore it would be tamim. Beit ha-tumos she-beis kusim etamim ba-ohel, the beit ha-tumos, these areas where the kusim would hang out when they were nida, that would be tamim tumos ohel. This is assumed to be a mace there. Why is it assumed to be a mace in the room where they would be in place of nida? If they shame kovrim shamus in the phone, because if there were to be a stillborn, they would bury them off there. They wouldn't give them a proper kvura. We'll see in a second why they think the nafel doesn't require a full kvura. They would bury them in the base tumos, where again the women who were needed would hang out. But the Yehuda Omer, lo, how you kovrim no. So they say no, they wouldn't even bury it. There's no concern of tumos oil. El mashlichen, they would throw them wherever, and chaya garata, they'd throw in the backyard, and some wild animal would eat them, and there are no remains of the nafel. So that's machlokus between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Ne'emanim lomar kavarnu es shamus nefal. They're trusted to say that we buried a nafel in this place, alo kavarnu. We can ask them, and they'll tell us. Even though normally we don't necessarily trust a kusi, in this regard we do trust them, and the Gemara will explain why. They're trusted to say that this animal did have a bechor before, this animal did have a bechor. We trust them regarding that halacha as well. And also, if there's a tzion, and there's a tzion of a kever, they trust to say that here is a tzion, here wasn't a tzion. That much we trust them as well. But we do draw the line, we don't trust them with regards to different types of situations. The schachos is where there's like a tree hanging over. On the one of the sides is a kever. We don't know which one. If they tell us it's on the east, and we don't trust them it's on the east side, because maybe it's in the north, south, or west. We'll see why that is. Or Val HaPros, Val Beis HaPras. These are all situations the Gemara is going to explain where there's a suffix, tumma there, then we don't trust them at all. The Zakal, this is the rule. Davar shechashudim bo, ein nemanim alav. Anything that we suspect them about, that they don't keep, then we can't trust them about it. But if it's something that they do keep, then we can trust them on this. So Gemara is now going to go through each stage of the Mishnah. First, Gemara wants to know, my darish, what was the drasha that the kusim made that they felt that a nafil doesn't require kvur? It's based on the pasuk, lo sasi gvul re'echa asher gavlu rishon b'nachla secha. Do not take over the border. Don't steal someone's border. Don't extend over the borders from your friend. So Gemara makes a drasha. The kusim made a drasha. Kol sheishlo nachla yeishlo gvul. Anyone who has a nachla, which means someone who ben yerusha, a child that's born, a ben kayama, that child has a gvul in the land, has a kever. But kol shein lo nachla, any child that doesn't have nachla, meaning it was a nefel, ein lo gvul, he has no gvul, he has no property in the karka, which means there would not be a kvura for a nefel. So then the Gemara says, Nemanim loma kavarnu, we trust the kusi, to say that there we buried a nefel, there we didn't bury a nefel. Why do we trust them? The kusim do not hold of the drasha of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. What does it mean, lifnei iver lo sitei michshol? Literally means, don't place a stumbling block in front of a blind person. So the kusim understood everything to be literally. They said this pasuk means that only don't place an actual stumbling block in front of a goy, or rather an iver, a blind person. But to place an iser in front of someone, to give someone an iser, that's not an iser. They have no problem handing a cup of wine to another. They have no problem handing a trace piece of meat to a Jew. They don't care about lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. They care about isurim, direct isurim, but to trick someone, that's not a problem. So if that's the case, so why do we trust them if there's a nafel there or not? Yeah, that's lifnei iver. They say, oh, there's no nafel there. That's going to cause a coin to walk over there and become tamei. That's a violation of the nisa deraisa. But they don't care about lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. And so the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Abahu, the kohen omid sham. The situation where the kohen is mamish standing there. So it's not lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. It's mamish that moment. So when they say that the kohen standing here, they say, oh, right there, there's no nafel, even though there is, but they say there's no nafel, That's not called in their eyes. That's not called lifnei iver. That's mamish creating an issa right now. Lifnei iver, where there's some indirect action. There's some time lapse between when they presented the issa and the issa was done. But when it happens mamish bevas achas, when they say that there's no kever and the kohen standing there, that even they would agree would be a violation. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Duma kohen tamehu. Maybe they're going to say to themselves, that coin's a tame, and therefore I don't have to tell them that there's a nafel. I could say there's no nafel there, because he's already tame. Who says he's a tahor coin? And once there's always a possibility in the eyes of the kusi that there's a way out, there's a way to justify it, in their eyes, in their halacha that they hold, it wouldn't be usur. So they could still say, and just say, oh, he was a coin tame, and that's why I wasn't honest about being a nafel there. The Gemara says you can't make that claim. The situation where the Kohen was omid sham and he's the noket shum v'yadeh, he's holding truma. So you know only a Kohen who's tahor can hold on to truma. A Kohen who's tameh can't hold on to truma. So since the Kohen was holding truma, it was indicative that he's a Kohen tahor, and therefore you can't tell him and you can't deny that there's a nafil that's buried there. So the Gemara then says v'dilma truma tamehi. So maybe the Kohen is holding truma tamehi. If a Kohen's already tameh, he's allowed to hold truma that's tameh. There's no problem anymore. So the kusi could say, oh, yeah, there's a kohen there, but he's holding truma tame, perhaps, and therefore it's not a problem. He's already tame. And the Gemara says, dekachamina, he's eating it. Kohen, truma tame may not be eaten. So the fact that the kohen's eating truma, it must be that the truma's tahor, and the kohen is tahor, and therefore he can't lie to you. He must tell you the truth that that area either does have a kever or does not have a kever. Ihachi, then the Gemara says, that's the scenario. So then, my remember, what's a chiddush? We know that a kusi, in this situation, in his halacha, he's not allowed to lie to you about this. He must be honest and say that it's a kever, not a kever, because it's a kohen tahor. So what's a chiddush? The Gemara says, my lemeimra, what would I have thought? Lo beki b'yitzira. Maybe a kusi is not an expert in how creation of a nafil, a stillborn. He might have a different definition of it, and therefore he might say that even though in our halacha would acknowledge that nafil to be a really a tumas meis, he might say, no, it's not tumas meis. He might think a human being only needs 6 months to develop. And this was only developed for 3 months, so in his world he says, oh, there's no tumah there. And he thinks he's telling the truth. So maybe since he's not Bekim and Yetzir and how the creation, the development of a human being works, maybe we shouldn't trust him at all. Kamash Milan, that we do. We trust that a Kusi knows how Yetzir works, and therefore, since there's a Kohen Tower standing there, we could fully trust him. Kamar now says, Vaitim. Ne'manim ala behema, we also trust the Kusi telling us whether this behema had a Bechor beforehand or not. So, V'hal Leslai Lifnei Iver Lo Sita Mikshel. Why? He doesn't care about Lifnei Iver. So he could say, ah, this animal already had a bechor before. And it really didn't. But he doesn't care, because whoever gets it next, they'll have to deal with bechor, not knowing the bechor, but that's lifnei iver. The kusi did nothing wrong. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochan, begozeis ve'ovid, a situation where the kusi himself won't do an iser. He doesn't mind causing other isurim, but he himself won't do an iser. So you see, the kusi is busy shearing the cow, the sheep. He's busy using the animal for an avodah. So then, that is clear then, that it says, oh, don't worry, this animal already had it before, and therefore you have to trust him because his actions are consistent with his words. So Yehachi, that's the case. If the kusi is busy shearing the wool and busy working the cow, what's a chiddush? Ma'al Meimer, of course we know it's not a bechor. He won't violate Isurim for himself. So Ma'al Desema lo bekiya betinaf. He's not a baki in tinaf. What's tinaf? Tinaf is sometimes an animal give off some type of emission, some type of blood, which may indicate there was a leida, may not indicate it's a leida. It's a confusing thing to figure out. You have to know how it works. And he might think that there was some type of tina, some type of blood that came out of the animal that did qualify as a vlad, and that's why he said it's the animal already had a bechor, it's already a bichra. But really, we assume that it doesn't qualify as a vlad. It wasn't a sufficient tinuf, and therefore it still is a low bichra animal. So maybe because he doesn't understand the metzius of tinuf, maybe we shouldn't trust the kusi. Kamashlam, we do trust him. He knows how tinuf works, and since he says that this animal is kfar bichra, and he's gozeis ve'oved, therefore we're allowed to trust in what he's saying. So then the Gemara quotes in the mission, Ne'manim al tzion. We trust the goy to tell us that there's a tzion here, there's a tzion here. Even though the concept of a tzion of a kever is only a din dirabanan, and normally the kusim don't follow dirabanans, so we shouldn't trust him regarding a tzion of a kever. This halacha is different, because kevin dechsiva b'masira, since it's written at least in Nevi'im, mizar zahirabe, they are careful about this. Dechsiva, it says in the pasuk in Yecheskel, the ra etzim adam u'bane etz tzion. When you see a bone, you should build a kever, a white kever on top of it. So even though it's not in the Chumash, it is in Nevi'im, and therefore even they are careful about this particular din, and we could trust them. So then the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah about Ein Ne'amanim Lo Al Schachos and Vechulu. You can't trust him regarding these other instances. What's Schachos? So Gemara explains Schachos, the Tanan, the Mishnah Olaf teaches us, Elohim Schachos, Elon HaMesech Al Haris. You have a tree. And the tree that spreads out very wide. And you know, one of the sides of a tree, there's a kever. But you forgot exactly where. So there you can't trust a goy. Because when it comes to any time there's a Safek, the only time that they have a, we trust them is when there's a Vada Tumah. Vada yes, Vada no. Whenever there's a situation of a Safek, so then they don't care about, so in their mind, a Safek Tumah is Tahor. If you don't know where it is, you could walk completely around, and rather you could walk straight, and there's no Chashash. So therefore, since in their own world, they allow you to walk straight underneath the side of the tree, since it's a Safek, they don't mind telling us also you're allowed to walk there, it's Tahor. In a similar way, Pros. Pros is the same concept as a tree, but it's not Avanim Pros. There's some rocks protruding from the wall. You know, underneath one of the rocks, there was a kever of some human was buried there. You don't know which one, so you can't ask them because they allow you to walk under each one individually. You're allowed to walk under each one because it's a Safek. Safek Tumah in their world is Tahor, so we can't trust them in the case of any Safek, whether it's Chachos or whether it's Pros. What about Beit HaPras? Beit HaPras was another area of there's a Safek Tumah there. We can't trust them either. Look, I'll be the Safek Tumah Beit HaPras. What's Beit HaPras? Beit HaPras is a situation where they lost a body, or the kever that was plowed over, we'll see in just a second. So you don't know if there was where the tumah is, or if there's tumah, there's no tumah, where is the tumah? So the Gemara explains here, when it comes to Beit HaPras, an area that's been plowed over, there's once a base forester, it was plowed over, and it's assumed that most of the bodies were, the bones were ground up in such a way where they're very, very small. But there still might be little bones that are etzem kisora. So the size of bone is the size of barley seed, which is not very big. That's still matami a person. So the Gemara just mentions in the halacha, when a kohen is walking through a beis pras, an area that's been plowed over, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav Shmuel, Nafeach Adam beis pras, behold, you can just blow, as each step you blow away, and that'll move away any bones that might be there, and blow your way through a beis pras. Rav Yehuda, Bar Ami, Mishmeid Rav Yehuda Amar, beis pras, Shenidosh, Tower. But let's say this Beit HaPras, since Beit HaPras is derban in the first place, that's why the heter of just blowing your way and you get around it. There's no issue of real kever below the ground. And another heter that exists, let's say it was trampled on. People used it as a place to walk through. Then it's safe to assume that any bones that may have been there have been crushed to a smaller size than a sora. These are two built-in heterim with the Beit HaPras because in the first place it's only derbanim. With regards to Kusi, yet again, that we don't trust him, Lagavi, the dinim of Beit HaPras, because since the whole thing's a Safek Tumah, and they don't hold of something Safek Tumah, you therefore you can't trust them. And Gemara then says, quote of Bryce regarding Beit HaPras, Vitana, Hachorish Beit HaKvaros, one who plows through a Beit HaKvaros, Hareis the Os of Beit HaPras. This is what makes a Beit HaKvaros into a Beit HaPras, into the din of a Dirabanan, of a Safek Dirabanan of Tumah. V'yad kamahu osa, how far, if you have one kever, and you plow it over, how far will it remain the Beit HaPras? How far does it expand itself, the radius, with the chashash now of Tumah? So the Gemara says, male mana, which is the length of a row of plowing, which is mea amah, 100 amah, 100 amah by 100 amah, that's the radius of how much a chorish could do to Beit HaKvaros. And Beit Arbam Sarni, now in that radius of 100 Amah, it's only when it has the size, the ability to produce that amount of grain of Arba Sarni, and Rabbi Yossi Omer Chavish Sarni. So there's, again, it's a certain radius whereby a kever that's plowed over can send the bones that move a distance of 100 Amah by 100 Amah. Fine, so that's the din. Either way, we don't trust the Kusi Lagabe Schachos, Avanim, Prasos, and Beit HaPras. The Gemara says, Velo, Mehemni, we don't trust the Kusi Lagabe Yizdinim. V'hatani, the Brisa teaches us that Sada Shavid Bakever. If you have a field that you lost the kever, you don't know where it is, which is one of the examples of Beit HaPras. Beit HaPras, one example is where you plowed over. But there was another example of Beit HaPras, if there was a kever there that was never plowed over. But you just don't know where in the field the kever is anymore. You lost it Tzion. So the Gemara says, the Brisa says, Neman Kusi Lomer Ein Sham Kever. You could trust him that there's no kever. L'fish Einu Meir El Al Gufo Sher Kever. He's testifying about the kever itself. So either way, we see that this is an example of Beit HaPras whereby you do trust a Kusi, while a Mishnah says you don't trust him. Or in a similar way, that if you have a case of an Elon Shumetech al Aretz, the case of Schachos, Neman, you trust the Kusi, Lomar, Ein Tachtav, he would say it's not on Ein Tachtav Kever. There's no Kever below this side of the tree. The Fishayna made Ela Gufo Shekever. He's testifying about the Kever itself, which itself is their Isa. Even though it's a Derabanan where it is, the Kever itself is a Din Der Isa. But we see here, these are two examples where we do trust Kusi, Legabe Beis HaPras, and Legabe Chachos. How come the Mishnah said we don't trust him? And so the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yochanan bin Mahalik Uba Al Pnei Kulo. The reason why we trust him is it's where the Kusi is circling around the entire tree. He's circling around the entire field. So then the Kusi won't become Tummy. He is concerned with Tumah. So since he walked every single line of that field, he walked completely around the tree, and we know he himself will make sure not to become Tummy, then we could trust him. But a situation where he's not walking around the tree, he himself isn't involved in any Isser, so then we can't trust him that there's a Kever, there's not a Kever. That's the difference between when we do trust him and we don't trust him. Yihachi, that's the case, Ma'ala Memra. So this is a situation where the Kusi is walking up and down the field. He stepped upon every single inch of the field. He walked around the entire tree. So of course, if he's not getting coming himself, certainly we should trust him that it's not Tumah. What's the Chiddush? And the Gemara says, the same maybe he knows where there's a little strip of land where you can walk. He's like walking a tight rope here, a fine line where he knew there's a Ritzua where there's definitely no Kever, and he was just tricking us. Kamashram, that's hard to fathom. If he walked along the entire field, he walked around the entire tree, we're going to assume that he walked them in every inch, and since he walked it and said it's Tahor, in that situation we actually can trust him. And to finish off the parak concludes, Zach Klal, this is the rule that Lasui, my words are coming to include, Lasui Tchumim and Yai Nesach. That even the din is that we don't trust the Kusi, also the Gabi Tchumim, the Tchum of Shabbos, how far one can walk in Shabbos is only din derabanan, and therefore we don't trust him. Also the Gabi Yai Nesach, if he testifies that a certain goy touched or didn't touch him, we don't trust it either, because the Kusi apparently are not makbid on Yai Nesach, because since Yai Nesach, Astam Yenam, is only derabanan, therefore we can't trust him the Gabi those dinim. Hadron Allah, conclude the parak of Dam Hanida. Now let's begin the eighth parak on Nun Zayin Amud Beis. It's a long daf, but it goes pretty quickly, I hope. The Mishnah begins as follows. Back to Hilchos Nida. Haroa Kesem al Bisara, a woman sees a stain on her flesh. Keneged Beis HaTorfa, if it's an area that's next to the Osa Makam of the Isha where the Nida comes from, that's just possible to get directly from there and part of her leg, the Gemara is going to go through some details, and she's Tamer. We assume this came directly from the Osa Makam, she's Dam Nida. V'shelo keneged Beis HaTorfa, if it's not keneged her Osa Makam, it's found, let's say, on her shoulder, so then Tahor. We don't assume that the stain came from her Osa Makam. Tahor. Al ikvav arosh golov, she finds it on her heel, on her big toe. Tamer, it's tame, because we could assume it fell directly from the Osa Makam. Al shukav al parsosev, it fell on the bottom of her feet, or it fell on her thigh, a different outside of the thigh. Mibifnim, if it's on the inside of the thigh, the inside of her feet, so then we assume tame, could have came from the Osa Makam. But mibichutz, on the outer thigh, the outer part of the foot, then it's tohor, that's unlikely to come from Osa Makam. But tzadim, mikan mikan tohor, if it's on the side of either one, so then it's a tohor as well. And the whole idea is, if it's possible to fall from Osa Makam, it's Tameh. If it's impossible to fall from Osa Makam, then it's Tahor. Rasa Chaluk, if she finds a stain on her clothing, Minachagor Lamata, if it's from her, below the belt and below, it's Tameh. We assume it came from Osa Makam. Minachagor Lamata, if it's above the belt, then we assume it's Tahor. Rasa Beis Yasha Chaluk, if she finds it on her sleeve, Imagia Kenege Beis Torfa, if that sleeve is able to, moving her hand, it will pass over the area of the Osa Makam, then we assume it came from the Osa Makam, and therefore it's Tameh. Then lav, if it's higher up part of the sleeve where it's not going to reach, extend itself over to Osa Makam, then we assume the stain it's Tahora. Haisa poshatasa miskasa babalaila, she removes it and it covers herself at nighttime where she doesn't see what's going on, then komakum shenimsa bokesim, wherever she finds the stain, it's Tameah, b'pnei shechozer v'chein b'pulyas, because she takes it off and on. So since she, put up and down her head, it's possible that even though her shoulder is up here, the shoulder part of the shirt, it's possible when she's taking it off or putting it on, it may have passed through the Osa Makam, it may have come from there, and therefore it's chashash, should we assume it's Tameh. So this is the din of Fadnia Kesem, a stain where it's found is very crucial for dictating whether it's Tameh or not Tameh. So Amar Shmuel says, this is when those who learn Hilchos Nida, this is like the first Gemara they learn, because this is really an introduction to the fundamentals of Hilchos Nida. What's the sheet of Shmuel? Amar Shmuel says, Badka Karka Olam V'yashra Leh, let's say she checks the ground, and there's no stain. So then she sits on the ground, Yashra Leh, and then she gets up, Umatza Dam Aleh, she finds there's a Dam on the Karka, Torah, she is tahor. Shenamar bivsara, ad shetargish bivsara. Why she tar? Clearly it came from her. She sat down there. The din is you have to have a hargasha. It must be accompanied by a hargasha. So this is a discussion found in the Tosas Rid and others. When there's a woman sees a riyah, we've been talking about up until now for the most part, she has to see dam riyah. There needs to be a riyah, a sighting. But hargasha is a new concept. So they talk about whether hargasha is a simin or a siba based on this. Meaning to make a woman a nida, she needs riyah and she also needs hargasha. Without hargasha, she's not dam nida. Or no, it's hargasha only there as a simin that the dam nida is a nida. But there is no need for hargasha per se. It just indicates the status of the dam nida. So this is based on this sugi right here, the Tosafot and others, and the very fact that you need hargasha. Simple shot is it's a siva, that you need the hargasha. Hargasha creates nida. You need dam nida and you need hargasha. That actually creates the dam nida. So Gemara says, wait a second. Could bivsara, the word bivsara, really include the din of hargasha? Hi bivsara mibayle shemetame bifnim mibachut. We had a din we learned a couple weeks ago, that the dam nida, for her to be on dam nida, normally ri'iyah, you have to have, see something that's outside the body. But there's a chiddush by dam nida, as long as it left the rechem, even though it's still internal, we're still metami her, bifnim, when it's inside her body, it's still considered kibachut. And that's bivsara, even though it's bivsara, even though it's internal still, we view it as bichut. So how do you learn two drashas from the same pasuk bivsara? One that is argasha, and one that's tami bifnim kibachut. So Gemara says, in Cain, if that was the only drasha, lemakra bivsar. My bivsara, the extra hey, shema mina, we learn an additional din, not only bifnim kibachut, but also ad shetargish bivsara. She has to also have a hargasha. So Gemara says, wait a second. So those are two drashas. But we have a third drasha that we use this pasuk for. Vakati mi barilei still needed to teach me bivsara, v'lo b'shvir, v'lo b'chaticha. What happens if that dam nida comes in the form of a chaticha, some type of piece of blood, not dripping? It comes out in something else, some other form. How do we know that that's tameh? So that's tar rather. So Gemara says tar tishmami. We learn two dinim einachanami. We learn multiple dinim from this very pasuk. So Gemara says, so now back to the question of hargasha. So we had the din of Shmuel that if a woman sees dam and there's no hargasha, she's actually tahora. So Tashma, the Gemara brings a brisa, ha'isha she osa trecha, a woman who goes to the bathroom, the rasa dam, she sees blood, Rabbi Meir Omer, im omedet, if she's standing up, then tamea, why? Because since she's standing up, the flow from the rechem, the source of dam nida, to the Meir Glaim is a smooth flow, so we assume it drew the dam, she went to the bathroom, she saw dam in the urine. So the dam came directly from the rechem if she's standing up. If she's sitting down, where the connection to Meir Glaim to the rechem is not so smooth, then we assume the dam didn't come from the rechem, she's tahora, the dam came from perhaps an infection or somewhere else, but not from the rechem. Heichidami, what's the case here? Ida hargasha, if she had a hargasha, yosheva samai Torah. If there's hargasha, isn't hargasha what creates dam nida? So if she sat down, if there's a hargasha, she should be tamei regardless of sitting or standing. And el alav dilo argasha must be a situation where she didn't have a hargasha. Well, if she didn't have a hargasha, how come katani omedes when she stands, she's tamei? If there's no hargasha, then she should be tar. If there was a hargasha, she should be tamei. Who cares sitting or standing? So Gemara says, liolam d'argasha, really there was a hargasha. The aim of hargasha is meir glaim havi. So maybe it was meir glaim. So she had a sensation. Now how to define hargasha is big machlokes in the poskim, what it means. I mean the body trembles. Doesn't mean you feel something flowing out of the body. So she had a hargasha, but she had hargasha meir glaim. It's very possible that that hargasha, the sensation of urinating, it masked the hargasha of the dam nida exiting the body. So we don't know whether there was hargasha in additional to the meir glaim. And therefore we have to figure it out that aim of hargasha meir glaim. She tells herself that the hargasha she felt was meir glaim. It wasn't from the dam nida. So therefore we say, if it's omed, if she stands up, so how the meir glaim the makor, so meir glaim is able to reach back into the makor of the rechem and pull the dam nida out by sedam. But if she's yosheves, where it's not a smooth path, then we assume that the meir glaim was not able to take the dam from the makor, and therefore she would be tahor. But you do need a hargasha, it's just that the hargasha in this case was very possibly masked by the hargasha of the meir glaim. So Gemara is going to go a few different circumstances like this, so different scenarios. Tashma. Aid Shayanasan Tachat Hakar. If there was a bidika cloth below the pillow, the nimsa love dam, she found dam on it. Im ago, if it's circle, it's a tower. Why? Because a stain doesn't come in a perfect circle. A dead gnat, a louse could come and make a nice circle. But if it's a circle, we don't assume it came from her. So im ashuk, if it's like it's not a shape, it's whatever line, then we assume tamay. So hey chidami, what's the case here? She had a hargasha. I'll go on my tar. There's a hargasha. We don't care the shape. Hargasha means she's a damnita, regardless of what the shape of the stain is. Labdilo argishe must be that there was no hargasha because ani mashuch tamei. And yet it says, even though there's no hargasha, if it was mashuch, she's tamei. But why? Don't you still need a hargasha? Where's the hargasha? So Gemara says, lo. The olam dargasha, really she had a sensation, she felt something in that area. But Amar she had said maybe that's hargasha's aid because she was doing an inspection. So maybe when she was doing the inspection, there was hargasha of dam at the same time. But that hargasha's dam nida was masked by the inspection she was doing. Therefore, we don't know whether it was hargasha of the aid or hargasha of the dam nida. It's a safik. And therefore, how do you figure out the safik? So we say, havi mashuch vada megufa. So if it's like a straight line or it's not a perfect circle, then we assume it vada came from her. But if it's a ugle, if it's a circle, then we assume it's tahor. Tashma, the Gemara says, now another brisa. Nim sal shalom, let's say you find dam nida on his cloth. So they just had tashmish, and he, after creating himself, he finds dam on it, so we assume he's tamei, because he doesn't have dam nida coming from him, it only comes from her. So the fact that it's on him must have been the dam nida was from her already beforehand, and therefore they're both tamei, and chayav mekarbon, the chayav carbon of being bol nida. Nim sal shalom, if they find it on her though, so awesome, if they found it immediately after Tashmish, so then we assume Tamei. We assume it was there also 2 seconds earlier while they had Tashmish, and they're both Tamei, he's Tamei Bal Nida, and Chayav and the carbon, the Chayav to bring a carbon of Bal Nida. But it's only Nimsal Shalal Achrizman, if only, whatever the time, 30 seconds later she finds Nida, then they're only Tamei and Misafik. We don't know whether it's there at the time, and the Pturmin of carbon, since it's only a case of a Safik. So Gemara says, wait a second, hey Chedami, what's the case here? Ida Argushev, she had a hargasha, lachesman, my pturmina carbon. If there's a hargasha, so we don't care how long after she found the damnida. If there's a hargasha, she's a damnida regardless of when she actually saw the stain. So Ella must be lav, the lo argushev, there was no hargasha. And yet, it says, even though there's no hargasha, katani, nimsal shalo, esyam, they find it on her immediately, tamem, bechayavim carbon. But why is she tame? Why is there carbon? If there's no hargasha, then there's not too much need to madraisa. So Gemara says, lo, liolam d'argashay, really there was a feeling, there was a sensation, but she was able to say, v'emar, hargasha shamish, however, perhaps it was hargasha of the tashmish, and therefore, since it was masked by the tashmish, we don't know, and therefore we have to figure out the other suffix of whether it was there at the time or not at the time. So then the Gemara says, v'aiter, tashma, nim sasata omer, shloshes sfeikos bishu, it comes out that there are 3 levels of suffix when it comes to a woman. Al bisara, suffix tame, suffix tar, tame. If you find a situation, if it's on the flesh, the Gemara is going to explain each line, the safek on the flesh, we assume tahor. If it's al-chaluka, it's a safek on the clothing, safek tamei, safek tar, we assume it's tahor. And uvumagos, uvaseitos, halach acharof. And if it comes to things that she came into contact with, she touched or she moved, then we go based on the roof. So unclear what the Bryce is talking about at this stage right now. So my halach acharof, what it means follow the roof. Lav imrov yameh tameim, tameh, we based on her life. If most of her life was lived in such a way where she was most of them tamei nida, so we assume that what she touches tamei. The alpha gabdul argashi, even though there's no hargasha, we go based on the roof. The hargasha is completely unnecessary. It's all based on roof. So how can we ignore hargasha? Then we say above you need hargasha. Gemara says lo im rov yameh hargasha chazya tamei. If most of her days when she sees with hargasha. So even though this particular case she didn't see, she didn't feel hargasha, we assume it did. But the Amer, Argasha Argashev La Adati, we're going to say in this case, she most likely did have Argasha, she just didn't notice it. So again, the question is, if most of her days are with Argasha, and in this case she just saw a stain but didn't have Argasha, we assume, you probably were just distracted, but in the stomach there's Argasha since most of the cases you see Argasha anyway. So we see all these different prices going on to explain when we need the need for Argasha. Now the Gemara says, Amr Mar, we said above Al-Bisara, Savik Tame, Savik Tara, Tame, if he finds on her flesh, so we don't know if it came from her or not. We assume the worst. We assume tamei. If we find it al chaluka on her clothing, safek tamei, safek tar, we assume the best. We assume tar. So Gemara says, it's not simply like that. We had the whole mission that told us it depends where in the body it is, where in the chaluka it is. So Gemara clarifies all this. It says, hey, chidami, what's the case? Imi chagor lamat, if it's below the belt, al chaluka my tar. Why is it tar if it's below the belt and the clothing? Vatnan, the mission tells us, min chagor lamat tamei. And if it's michag or lamal, if it's above the belt, al bisara amai tamei. Why is it tamei if it's found in the body? So Hatzan the Mishnah tells us, rasa dam al bisaro shelo kineged beis haturfa torah. If she found it on the flesh, that's not near the area of the beis haturfa, like on her shoulder, for example, that would be tahor. So it doesn't depend on whether it's in the basar or the chaluka. It depends where in the chaluka, where on the basar. The Gemara says, Ibai Tema Mechag Rolamata, Ibai Tema Mechag Rolamala. We can answer both, either talking about below the belt, we can answer talking about above the belt. How? is talking about where you found it below the belt, where she passed through a shuk shatavachim of a slaughterhouse, and there's blood squirting all over the place. If it's al-bisara, if it's found on her flesh, megufas, we have to assume the worst. If it's on the basar, it came from her body, because unlikely it got to her body, she was wearing clothing. Dima'almas, it had been mi'alma from the outside, from all the shechting going on in the shuk shatavachim, then al-bisar mi'bala, rather al-chaluk mi'bala, she should have found it on the clothing. And the fact that she only saw the stain on the basar, and not on the clothing, must be it didn't come from the shuk. Shechita must have come from herself. Now, Ashka ala Chaluka, if it was found on her clothing only, then Mi'alma, so we knew it came from the outside, because Dimi Gufa had it come from herself internally, Abbasar Mibarle, it should have been found in Shachuche, it should have been found on her bust. So that's one explanation. It was found again below the belt, but she went through a Shuk Shal Tabachim. Now, the other answer, Dibai Tema Mechagul Lamala, was found above the belt. So if it was found with me, Azdarka, but at Sama, it was, Rashi says, the last Rashi in the page here, Zok Fatma Lachoreha, Viafagav the Avra Beshuk Shadabachim, Tumea, Di Ma'alma Se Achaluka Ibarle. What's this case again? How they define it? Zok Fatma, it was standing up on her body.
She did a headstand,
fine. So everything flipped around now. Above the belt really means below the belt. Any down would have flowed down, which really means the top half of her body. So, if it's only in her flesh, it only came from herself, because the Ma'alma said it came from elsewhere, it should have been on the clothing, Yishtakuche. If it was found in the Chalukah, Ma'alma, we assume it came from outside, because the Ma'alma said it came from herself, Abisara, Ibarle, Yishtakuche, they should have found it on her skin. Okay, we'll stop here. Mr. Hashem will continue this piece tomorrow.